Welcome to Water Insider, a podcast brought to you by DHI. Whether you work with urban or inland water systems, marine or offshore, we get experts to discuss everything water, so you can be the first to learn the latest in water tech and trends.
Welcome back in listening to the podcast about integrated urban water management. I'm Honza Krejčík and my guest today is Jan Katkovský, the senior water specialist in the World Bank. Well, until now we were discussing quite generally why it is good to apply the integrated urban water management and what is it and what are the circumstances, who are the stakeholders and how we understand the entire process of implementation of these methodologies. And of course, there are challenges on the way for the industry or aging infrastructure. The other challenges could be, for instance, the lack of investments or lack of strategic approach, how these investments are being prioritized. And also the behavior of the institutions, the cities, the water utilities, and so forth. What are the two most important ones? I mean, is it investments and institutions, for instance?
Well, it's very difficult to say.
Yeah, of course, I know. But what about if we do it in a way that you will try to put together the arguments why one of those challenges is the most important one, and I will try to put the arguments for the other one? For instance, you may try to argue for the institutional challenge. I mean, argue in a way that this is the most important and most limiting factor for implementation of the integrated urban and sustainable water management. And I will argue that lack of investment is the most important one.
It's clear that the institutional limitations are the most critical factor, and let me explain why. So first of all, in order to apply integrated water management in an urban landscape, you need strong leadership. If you don't have strong leadership with a proper, approach to these topics, then of course nothing will ever happen. The second thing is the capacity of the teams behind the leader.
Well, I tend to agree with you to a certain extent, but what if I just say that if there is no money, nothing is happening, whatever the institutional setup is and whatever the intentions of the city leaders are?
Well, the question is, is it a true statement that there is no money? Because especially in the European Union, the funding is quite there is an abundance of funding opportunities. But again, if you don't have the right people to write the applications to receive the funding to construct the projects in a proper way, then money won't help.
That's partly right. But even with the good institutional capacity, you can do the wrong investments because you are using the wrong tools how to prioritize these investments into the infrastructure, which means that even if you have a great institutions
and people working within,
you still can make wrong decisions, you know, if you're not using right decision supporting tools.
Yeah, of course, there's a lot of sense in what you're saying. But if an institution is not using the right tools, then I would argue that this is a capacity issue. Of course, even with the best capacity and the best intentions, you do make mistakes. And institutions make mistakes in their decision processes. However, like you just noted, if you have the right tools behind the decisions, the risk of making wrong decisions is actually much lower. And in principle, I believe that if you look at the distribution of financing within a municipality or a city, you will soon realize that the water investments are not the leading ones. So the question is also about how you set your priorities.
So what, in your opinion, should
these decision supporting tools provide to decision makers?
It's worth noting that the technical capacity is increasing by the day in terms of analytical potential, which we have at the tip of our finger. And this includes satellite data, for example. It includes modeling tools, which you'd probably know more than me about. It includes mapping systems. It includes decision support systems, which are all abundant in the digital era. However, you need also the right people behind these tools. And this means that very often, very specialized knowledge is required to take advantage of all this abundance of technology which we have around. And this is why I kind of indicated the consultant, regardless whether it's a physical person, whether it's a company or another institution, but you need in most setups, institutional setups which govern an urban system, you need this kind of support to make the best out of these options.
Yep. We are almost reaching the end of this podcast, but before it really ends up, I like to touch upon the one more topic that's all the time around discussions related to water management or environment. That's obviously the climate change. But let me put it from a little bit different angle.
Do we have enough information about how the really urban environment will react on the climate change of the future?
Yeah, well, climate change, of course, is very much affecting the hydrological cycle and affects the water resources big time. However, if we just close ourselves into the city environment, then climate change is most likely in climate change, most likely the heat will be the biggest impact. And if you look at the temperature measurement of a concrete piece of land, right, and one which is covered with grass or a tree, you will see that the temperature difference is 30-40 degrees. It's just showing how much we need to think in an environmental conscious way when we look at future urban landscapes in the context of climate change. Because when the climate changes, when we have another heat wave, we suddenly maybe regret that the stream that was flowing next to our house is actually channelized under the ground today, and we cannot take advantage. And there is concrete on top of it, which is 60 degrees hot because of the direct sunshine. And it would be completely different if there was a tree and a piece of grass there and a little bit of water. So this is by creating green cities, we're actually adapting to climate change and building resilience towards climate change. And this is critical, I would say, in that context.
So we are back in the beginning of our talk that we need to apply these principles in a sustainable way. And when we are talking sustainable way, it's not only that the systems are providing the service for the future generations, but the future generations will be happy to live in that kind of environments in the changing conditions.
Yes, and I think that the whole concept of urbanization has to be reviewed in this context, because the future will not be what we have experienced in the past, and I think it will be much more difficult to live in cities in the context of climate change, and this is something that the leaders of municipalities have to take into account.
Well, these were very nice final words. Thank you very much, Jan.
Thanks, Honza. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to Water Insider. You can find more episodes on our website, dhigroup.com, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us.